Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. That you're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. If you want to join the show, it's just me and you, everybody, for this last half hour, which is so nice to have some time together. And I wanted to share some breaking reporting from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel just within the last hour. Milwaukee Police Association President Alex Ayala told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on Tuesday that he is considering sending a letter to the White House requesting National Guard assistance following a series of what are called street takeovers over the Labor Day weekend that led to multiple arrests. He said this, quote, "My opinion is let's try something new. Let's see if maybe the National Guard that maybe can maybe help Milwaukee curb some of this crime and some of the street takeovers and the church staffing and all the issues that we've had downtown." Ayala suggested that the National Guard troops would deter crime by being present in high crime areas of Milwaukee and said they could also perform crowd control. He did not say how long he'd like the troops to stay if they were deployed to the city. Mayor Cavalier Johnson said he believes the deployment of the National Guard to Milwaukee would both be unneeded and inappropriate. Governor Tony Evers called the National Guard the wrong people to send to Wisconsin and Milwaukee. Again, folks, National Guard, they're trained in disaster response and war. They are not trained in civil law enforcement. Most are not trained, nearly all are not trained in crowd control. That is not the purpose of the National Guard. And I have some process questions about this. First of all, did the union take a vote? Did the police officers in the MPA get together and take a vote on whether or not their president should get involved in this way in national politics? If not, why is president of the MPA, Mr. Ayala, doing this? I have to think there are members of the Milwaukee Police Department that think that they are perfectly capable of doing their jobs, that don't want any confusion in their chain of command. I have to imagine there might even be a Democrat or two, oh my goodness, or maybe somebody that just didn't vote for Donald Trump, that is a working police officer in the city of Milwaukee. So my question first is a process one to the president of the Milwaukee Police Association. Did you consult your membership, sir? Now recall, of course, that the Milwaukee Police Association also endorsed Donald Trump before the 2024 election. I wonder if they've polled their membership about some of Donald Trump's signature policies that will actually impact their members' day-to-day lives. You know, things like Medicare and Medicaid funding, things like educational funding and the shutting down of the Department of Energy. I wonder what the process was before President Ayala decided to come out and say publicly, I think I should curry favor with the president without consulting. And again, if he did, I will stand corrected. But this doesn't, he didn't say, well, we talked to our members and our members voted and they want me to ask for this assistance. Where is the call for additional federal law enforcement funding? Where is the call from the president to defend the federal grants that are awarded to the city of Milwaukee that assist with law enforcement? Because those grants have been placed under threat by the Trump administration. This just, there's so much about this. Forget the merits for a moment, just from a process perspective. If I was a member of a union and I had my union leader drawing up sides in a way that put my membership at odds with the community in which I lived and worked, which is what this ostensibly does. I mean, Milwaukee is overwhelmingly a Democratic city. Why? I don't understand how it helps a relationship of trust between the police and the folks and the communities that they serve to do this. And I would also urge caution to Democrats in responding to this. These street takeovers, if you don't know what they are, I had to look it up this weekend. I had no idea what this was. It's a bunch of hooligans and tomfoolery acting like jerks. They basically drive muscle cars into an intersection with lights and they block the intersection and then they do like donuts and stuff. The stuff that kids have been doing for a long time, is it disruptive? Yes. Should it be shut down? Yes. Was it shut down by MPD? Also, yes. So you have some bad actors in like a newfangled little teenage rebellion thing going on over a three-day weekend. And for that, you say to the families of Wisconsin, your sons and daughters that signed up for the National Guard for natural disaster response, to defend our country, to be maybe war fighters. You, President Ayala, are now saying to them, well, you should come and do MPD's job for it. I don't know what to make of that. Your reactions are welcome. I find it disturbing as a process point. I find it disturbing in terms of the relationship between MPD and the communities in which those officers live and serve and work. And why is it that guy's job to call for the, like, that's not your job. If you want to be, maybe he's got aspirations to run for mayor. That would explain it. And then again, you're back to, that's in your own personal interest, so why are you doing it? Again, that's just breaking news this afternoon. Story broke by the Journal Sentinel, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, by Lawrence Andrea of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Thank you for bringing us that story. We'll continue that discussion. If you have thoughts, I want to hear them. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Mark from Sussex chiming in on the text line. I love that Dems are fighting the National Guard's assistance when a majority of people want the help. Says who? The majority of Milwaukeeans don't want the National Guard in their city. And again, I'm looking for that poll, Mark. I'm looking for the vote of the Milwaukee Police Association union membership that says, yep, let's ask for that. I'm not seeing that. A majority of Washington, D.C. residents, there's poll after poll. They don't want the National Guard. There's same thing in LA, same thing in Chicago. And here's the deal, Mark. The way that the people speak many times is by electing people to lead their jurisdictions, their cities. And the elected officials, who are the elected voice of their constituents, is saying, we don't want this. There also simply aren't polls to support that position. Mark, I have talked to people in Washington, D.C. I know a lot of folks that live there. That is not the majority view. Oh, it's great that Donald Trump tried to federalize the D.C. police. That's simply not true. 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. Joe from Madison, I'm skipping ahead of myself. Thanks for your patience this afternoon. You say what?
I say that people are not thinking this through with any sense of what are the costs, long-term, short-term. Short-term, we're looking at a $1 million a day being spent in D.C. on this National Guard contingent. $1 million a day. Okay, and we see them, what, mulching and raking and doing items like that? Clearly, it's not the kind of things that they signed up for. It's an insult for them to be doing that. There was a staff of 200 people that were employed by the National Park Service that were employed to do this kind of work. They were cut down to 20 in the big, beautiful bill. So what makes more sense, to have people in the local community given a job in which they do this work, or transport these people away from their homes, away from their families, pay costs $1 million a day to have them being raking and mulching? It's insanity. We look like nutballs, absolute nutballs. And he's talking about doing this in 17 more big blue cities because he wants to wave his little thing around. This is just absolutely nuts. It's costing us a ton of money, and it's also costing these cities. They said restaurants are down, their attendance is down by like 30-40% because people aren't going out because they're troops in the street. So, okay, you cut crime. Did you? What's going to happen in a week? What's going to happen in a month? What's going to happen in a year? I would really encourage you, Maggie, to talk to somebody who's done a fabulous job on this. I'm sure you know them. The mayor of Brandon Scott, the mayor of Baltimore, has taken a city that was really under siege. See if you can get him. He's a young guy, full of ideas and full of results. What he has done has worked. He's employed people in his city, and the crime rate has dropped 30%. It's a remarkable achievement, and he's just smart. He knows how to do these things. He's somebody that we should be looking at for inspiration. Instead of imagining that all of our dangerous cities are going to have armed, well, excuse me, dangerous blue cities, not any of the dangerous red cities. Memphis isn't going to see this kind of thing, but certainly Chicago might. And Milwaukee might. So I would encourage people to look at the cost, $1 million a day. Really? How long are we going to keep this up for? Really? Is this what?
Yeah, is this really what we want? I just want to share this small anecdote, and then we've got other breaking news. I'm going to take some more texts and phone calls. When I was a very young person, I got a scholarship to go do some research and to study with a professor from the University of California, Santa Barbara in Honduras. And I got my 16-year-old butt on an airplane. I think it was scaring my parents to death to watch their daughter fly off to a country that neither of my folks had ever been to. And I will tell you this, when I got off the airplane in Honduras, it was the first time I saw military personnel like deployed with the big guns. Just, they were ubiquitous. They were everywhere. And I remember being afraid. That is the point. Now, making people afraid, yep, you probably won't see any street takeovers, but there's this concept in law enforcement and in war about proportional and the least oppressive response, the least freedom limiting response to create public safety. Why is the overkill? Why is the making people afraid okay? Cannot we both create safety in our streets in every community, which all of us want, myself and every Democrat I know of good faith included? Can't we do that in the least restrictive, frankly, least fear-inducing place? I don't want to live in an America or a Milwaukee. When I go out for a jog, I see armed military roaming my streets. I don't want to live in fear. And if the only way that in a Trump America and a Trump Wisconsin we can achieve safety by instilling oppression and fear upon us all, that is not a safety that I want any part of. Peace at any price, safety at any price is not an American ideal. We're going to take a breath. I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to continue to take your calls and texts, and we will get to the Republican that seeks to replace Rebecca Bradley on the Supreme Court next. Oh, by the way, tens of thousands of documents. The Epstein files, in part, are being released this afternoon. No news happening today, folks. So stay with me as I break it all down for you. I'm Maggie Dawn, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.